I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome. I made 10 seconds of that. It's got to be. That's really got to thin the herd. Hello and welcome to Doing
the
Thing.
I hope the mic wasn't up too loud because your ears must be bleeding. Hello and welcome to Doing the Thing, the show where we come up with Five sketch ideas. He's Andy.
Five sketch and ideas.
And I'm Alistair George William Chalmley Birchall.
And
we're full of goodness here and ready to let it ooze out of us and into your ears.
That's right. Yes, separating. We've talked previously on the podcast about how milk is just filtered blood. Right, but then does that make cheese just a filtered blood scab? Is cheese just scab?
Well, and I guess if so, does it have a bacteria put in it? Could it be infected? Filtered blood scab?
Thank you for cleaning this up for me, Alistair. Thank you for bringing us back to why we're here. Yes, Alistair, yes. I think that's correct. And I think we should start a campaign for truth in advertising where cheese can now must be referred to as infected filtered blood scab. I think there's a many, many ways in which this is good. Number one, okay, it'll push us back towards, it'll push the cause of people consuming less dairy, which might save the planet. Number two, okay, it'll certainly, remember when that cheese in Australia with the racist name, when they renamed it and a lot of people were up in arms?
Yes.
Oh, you can't call a cheese anything anymore, they were saying.
They weren't up in arms much like babies are, were they?
No.
These weren't the people that were babies like that?
Although they were behaving in a childlike manner, Alistair.
Yes, no, you're right. This
will put it all in perspective, is what I'm saying. They'll probably start. They'll shut up about that now because they'll have other things on their mind.
The thing that we've just reminded them of.
Finally, nobody's talked about for probably 3 years. Now that'll finally be off the agenda.
Yeah, because it's also because, as it happens with regions, Champagne region doesn't want people outside of Champagne to use their words, their name, get that brand recognition. The guy who first said the word cheese, he probably would feel the same way about cheese like that, that it would suck that for him that suddenly he made this good thing. I mean, he might, and then he named it. He gave it a name that worked, that really caught on.
Yes.
And which is really the best. It's verbal. It's, it's marketing. He invented a brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was branding for, because originally people were just calling it infected blood scab.
It's like when they changed Chinese gooseberry to kiwi fruit.
Yes, exactly like that. And so he doesn't get any credit for that. Mm-hmm. And people are using his good word, cheese, to sell cheese. And he's probably somewhere just in squalor, living in squalor. Probably a deep grave.
One of the most squalid places you could live.
Oh, yes. Imagine that, though, if your house was so dirty. Because imagine this. So, how you get dust on things and dirt accumulates in a house, right?
Alistair, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So now, could it be, is there a point in which your house, if just left to its own devices, could it fill up completely with dirt? You know, could it be like, could you picture somebody, you know, like a week out,
Alistair, from... Do you want me to put the camera on my phone and show you what that looks like in real life?
Yeah, but I mean, could you imagine a week out from the it being full, you know, a guy standing on his tippy toes with his head just, you know.
I think he's crawling around on top of the pile.
Oh, you think so?
I think he's crawling around close to the ceiling, bumping his head on the lights and that sort of thing because of the layer of dirt is so high.
But yeah, and the lights would either be stuck on or off because he
can't reach the switch.
Maybe he just turns the bulb on and off.
What about instead of vacuuming your house, you just turn down the lighting? It's what they do in hotels, I believe. That's why they can get away with having such filthy carpets. Just make it darker and darker until you can't see the dust. Your wife comes in and says, I can see dust anywhere. You say, leave it to me, honey. You get out the vacuum cleaner and you use the end of the nozzle to to push the dimmer switch and rotate it down.
You know what you could do, though, as a great response to your wife is that you could, she goes, this house looks, look how dirty, look at all the dirt in this house, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh my God, I'm not really seeing it. Let me just clean my eyes. And then you spray your eyeballs with Windex, right? Like that. And then you go, it's not working, like that. But then suddenly you are blind and you actually can't see the dirt. And then it's not your responsibility to clean.
What about this? You spray your eyes with Windex, right? You scream in pain, okay? You get out a rough cloth. You scrub away at your eyeballs, screaming in pain some more, okay? You take the cloth away. You say, my God, that was the most agonizing thing I've ever experienced. But it turned out it was my eyes. My eyes were the thing that had the dirt all over them. Now the ball is in her court. If she refuses to clean her eyeballs in this agonizing fashion, she can't prove that the dirt isn't actually on her eyes.
That's right, because she's going, no, look, and she picks up handfuls of dirt and she sprinkles it down like that to show that it actually, he goes, no, that is still just air that you are picking up.
And it must be disturbing the dirt particles in your eyes and making them appear to move.
The wind, yes, it's an optical illusion. The reason you can feel it in your hand is just the eye expects dirt to be in your hand because there's so much in front of your eye.
Yes, it's a lot of vision is actually an act of creativity performed by
the brain. Most vision is actually smell.
Is that because like most taste is actually smell?
That's right, Andy. That's right.
Very good, Alistair. Actually, all the senses are actually smell.
They're actually just mostly smell. Smell's the only one that works.
If you hold your nose and look at the sunrise, it's actually very dull. It actually, there's no magic to it at all. If you hold your nose and gaze upon the smile of a newborn babe, it actually fills you with apathy and nothingness. It has no inherent
value. The baby thinks you're saying that it is stinky.
Actually, that might even work for babies because babies do have a smell that makes you love them. Yeah. Is that right?
They do have a smell that makes you love them.
I've got a smell Chanel number five. You love me.
That's what my baby had, because I've got rich friends. God, wouldn't it be great to have rich, generous friends?
Oh, always giving you more perfumes and fragrances.
Yes, bringing my children, sort of perfumes and balms.
Balms. I guess that's what the gifts for the baby, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were rich, indeed.
Mm.
The baby I was talking about there was Jesus. A baby.
Imagine
Jesus.
That they bring frank It's funny because, you know, wait, what's the, it's frankincense, myrrh, and what's the other one?
Gold.
You know, they sort of almost all could be misinterpreted as men's names, you know. Frank and sense, you know, and you know, maybe Merv,
and Cole. Oh wow, they really could be Alistair. You know, when you first said it, I was like, I don't know if I see it myself, but so it was just because I was holding my nose. Then I let go of my nose, and now I see it.
Oh, they showed up. It's the three wise men.
Merv, I can smell clearly
Frank
now.
And sense. And
sense, that man's name. Sense.
No, but, and no, his name, his full, he's, for some reason, he's the only one who goes by his full name. Frank and sense. Ad sense. Sure. He's the guy who later on created that ad company. What's AdSense? What is that?
Thing? I don't know, but I know the word, but I don't know what it is. I feel like I've seen it on the internet.
Google AdSense is a program run by Google through which website publishers in the Google network of content sites serve text, images, video, or interactive media advertisements that are targeted to the site, content, and audience. Now, we hear Tuna Think Tank
what about,
support.
What about that? I mean, there's got to be so many jokes about the... Sorry, Alistair, I'll let you say what you were going to say.
I had nothing else to say, Andy.
Great. There's got to be so many sketches about those three wise men bringing the thing, bringing that stuff, right? I mean, my first instinct is that it's a miracle that none of them brought a copy of The Very Hungry Caterpillar, something that I think we've received at least two copies of every time we have a baby. And that's often. So we have several thousand copies now, as you could imagine. On account of the number of babies.
That's right, because you have several thousands divided by eight.
A horde, yes. So there's that. Or it could just be that they're coming and they're bringing the myrrh. And she's already got a whole lot of myrrh. She puts it in the pile. She's got to act really happy to see it, but then she puts it in a pile and there's actually heaps of other myrrh.
How's myrrh made? Oh my god.
Mermaid? I guess when he brought the myrrh, he was a merman, wasn't he?
How, wait, myrrh is M-Y-R? How is it?
It's M-Y-R-R-H, I think.
M-Y-R-R-H, of course.
Yes, as it sounds. It's spelt as it sounds.
Oh, it's an exudate of the trees of the Commiphora species. It is collected by injuring the outer bark of the trees and allowing myrrh to exude and dry to form tears, which can be used as is. You could just use those tears as is for crying, I suppose. And or after extraction of different forms, such as essential oils, gum, resin, or tincture. So she could be like doing a lot of tinting. After tinting.
Sure. Tinting.
She could be like, you know, changing the color of her car. I think, do you think there'd be a good film in, you know, just the three wise men walking there, you know, on the camels or whatever, all riding, and it's just them chatting. It's kind of like a Before Sunset and After Sunset or whatever it is, those Linklater films where it's just two people talking for the whole thing.
I love it. I mean, it's a classic Hollywood prequel as well, because we've had the story of Jesus. Mm. But then we're like, how can we spin off? What other characters have we got? We've got these three guys going on
a
journey.
The Passion of the Christ extended universe.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we had the video that showed us the film that showed us where did Han Solo get his name, Han Solo. Where did Indiana Jones get his hat? We'd always wondered, where did he get his hat? You know how when you watch a movie and you're like, where did they get those pants? We were watching.
Oh, they didn't explain when he put those socks on. It was just supposed to
I was watching Philadelphia the other day and just thinking, where did he get these shirts? We see him with the shirts.
Yeah.
But I want to know.
But why didn't they go into that? but you know, but also,
so
them,
where
like,
did they get the myrrh? Where did they get the gold?
No, but like even just like the, you know, like they're on their way there, and they must be kind of going like, I wonder if this time, like we, you know, they've probably followed a couple of stars in the past that have been false alarms. You know, and then gotten there, and they go, how do you even know if you're under a star?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
You know, and then, and especially because, like, the longer you walk during the night, the star moves.
Yeah, well, I think this was a low one. I think this was a low-hanging star.
Yeah, and it never moved.
That's my feeling. Yeah, I that's my feeling.
Anyway,
I'm assuming,
then,
but I haven't looked into the science of it.
And then there'd be on the walk back where they'd be like, fuck, no, not great conditions for that baby. I give that baby.
That is an inauspicious start.
There you go. I give that baby 3 days.
Do you reckon when they were approaching the manger, they were like, oh, fingers crossed that the savior, the newborn savior, isn't like a sheep or something like that? Like you would have assumed as you realize that the star is over a barn, you're thinking, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's an alpaca. But
oh, yeah. And then, of course, and then...
And phew, thank goodness it's a human baby human. In there.
I mean, they were ready to just bomb up that... Just bomb up that llama.
Bomb a llama.
just going to absolutely llama bomb a llama. And just, like, grease up this llama and then go. And then, like, I guess God will be pretty happy with what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, if... Because if you couldn't talk to the parents and sort of tell them, here's the present, you know, because the mom and dad are llamas. Well, not the dad. Mm. Obviously, the dad is God. God had sex with a llama or whatever.
Oh, no. Oh,
and, no. But, yeah, so then you have to, or.
Oh, that's what they would have been. They would have been thinking. They would have think, oh, no, God is into bestiality. Yeah. As they approach the barn, they're like, oh, no, he's.
And there'd
he's
be other
done
times,
it. Dirty style with a cow or a pig or something.
Llama style. Dirty style.
Yes.
Dirty style.
That's what I call it. What do you call it? You probably call it clean style. Alistair.
Like, yeah.
The guy who brought the gold, that's the equivalent of giving cash, isn't it? Because he forgot to get anything. Like at the time, that would have just been cash.
Yeah, and then they were like, one of the other guys just had an extra intricate box. And it was just like, all right, just put it in this at least.
Put it in the box from the myrrh.
Just put it in this ornate box at least, so it's not, you're not just handing them cash. You know, maybe the other guy who was bringing the myrrh, he just had like pockets full of sap.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh,
it's not even a voucher. It's not even a voucher. Cash.
I mean, these people don't even give you plant extracts really that much.
Not anymore. No. I mean, maybe like some sort of, I guess giving some sort of hand cream is not out of the question. A lot of the time that's sort of flavored with your frangipani or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, but there's a bit of work that's been done there, hasn't there?
Sure.
It probably comes in a packet. You're still not bringing that in your pockets and you're just pockets full of hand cream.
Yeah, you're
that's
right. Not
that's
loose.
A perfect idea, Andy, by the way.
Because you put your hand in the pocket.
You've always put your hands in your pockets, so you may as well just
have a cream pants. Pocket.
Yeah, just filled with hand cream, because guys always forget to moisturize.
They
so
do.
Just fill your pockets with... See, now that's a sketch. Okay.
That's a life hack.
You know,
that's a sketch.
I mean, like, because the guys will go in, they'll go in to get cash, and their hands will come out super creamy, and then they'll have to rub it all over their skin in order to make their hands, you know, capable of functioning within society.
Gripping
so then
doors
they'll do
and
all their
kind of
heels
thing.
And they'll do their bellies and stuff like that and their arms and stuff, the back of their neck.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're constantly during the day, every time there's and this is kind of like, you know, it's like incidental exercise or whatever. You know, you go up this, you choose to go up the stairs or whatever, because you're going that way anyway. Well, this is incidental moisturization.
But I feel like as a man, as men, we, you know, we're supposed to be the opposite of women. That's the law. And so we are supposed to, I think we should be aiming to have drier and drier hands Really, our hands, our pockets should be full of that chalk that gymnasts use. And then, you know, when you're giving a handshake, God, the grip you've got. When you go to open a door handle, the grip that you can get on that door handle.
That door handle would be almost, what's that thing when somebody shakes your hand and they're really strong and how you feel? It's a...
Dominated.
Feel dominated. That door handle feel dominated, intimidated.
Intimidated. You
know? Well, how about this, Andy? I think a modern man would probably have one pocket full of chalk and one pocket full of moisturizer.
That's you know, right.
So when,
yes.
You know, and so, I mean, and then you probably have something in your back pocket.
Oh. You know?
A gun. And... And some bandages in the the modern man pocket pants, and this is just another way in which men will have it hang it over women's heads. How many pockets we have? Because now not only do we have pockets, but they come with stuff already in them.
What about this? A gun that shoots band-aids. Have they done that?
That's perfect. No, Andy, they haven't. Or that shoots doctors, like a doctor. Oh,
great.
You know, that'd be perfect for a war zone.
Oh, great. Human cannon, but in the cannon, a doctor.
Yeah. It's because the human cannon, they never use it for transport. Yes. They just go to
the
a
Red
net.
Cross really should get onto this, shouldn't they? They should be able to fire in an artillery fashion, medically trained frontline workers.
That's right.
Bombard. Yeah, they should be a cluster bomb where you have an entire graduating class of doctors strapped around a small explosive. You drop them onto the ground, explode, sending doctors in all directions.
Oh, like a dirty bomb.
Exactly.
A cluster bomb of some sort that's dropped and then a whole hospital of doctors falls out.
Yes.
I mean, it feels like that's kind of almost more what you would have for the nurses because there's so many nurses per doctor.
You need
doctor.
More nurses.
You need,
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. And you might not be able to do the same intensity of medical care, but you're going to be able to perform much more general medical care at a low level. Right? Yes. And
it's funny. I was going to write down a gun that shoots doctors, but that's any gun that could shoot a doctor.
But, you know, a special gun just for shooting at doctors, that's interesting too.
I mean, that is really good. You know, but it's a gun where you're allowed to shoot doctors.
Isn't that interesting that, you know, we... You
it's
know,
like
you,
the golden snitch, sorry.
Mm,
like it's a special thing, sorry.
Doctors are harder to kill if you need it more... This is awful. This is
well. They're kind of like Wolverine, aren't they? Because they have healing powers.
But if you yes, indeed, and if you want to, and they have knives in their hands, I'm using a different sense of in, obviously.
Yeah.
But in their hands, often they have them scalpels that come out. Oh, that'd be a great Wolverine doctor scalpels that come out through the in between his knuckles.
Oh, and then there's bad people, and then he performs surgery on them that somehow fixes, fixes all their problems surgically.
Correct.
And that takes away all their trauma and whatever made them follow a life of crime. I mean, that does actually sound like another kind of doctor, who like a superhero doctor slash, you know, doctor that is a, like a psychologist who, within his superpowers, that within one session... He can cure you of your want to be evil.
That's right. He just has to get you onto a couch. And then you're...
And in order to do that, he has developed extreme strength. So he throws you across the room and just tries to get you on there. He's a wrestler slash psychologist.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah, he can. Yes, he
pins
can.
You down.
But then he does it. A lot of it is done with listening. Once he gets you on that couch, you are putty in his ears.
Because, so, like, as like that, you're using as sort of like earplugs, or
No. I realize that's one way you could interpret that sentence, but no, it's not. And I think, given the context, the listeners will be able to interpret exactly what I was saying there. I was going to say putty in his mouth, but yes. Then I thought that's if you were he was using his power of oratory. But
yes.
that's definitely a way you could definitely describe somebody who's a very good public speaker. You say, Barack Obama, I saw him give his State of the Union address, and let me tell you, I was putty in his mouth.
I can't think of another single expression.
What about this? Somebody who's a very good lover. You could say, I was putty in their thighs. You should have seen it. Right. You're making love to this person.
Oh, yes. And so then I forget what being putty in somebody's hands means. But no, I do kind of know what it means. I feel like I'm choosing. I think it's because I'm not able to use it as nimbly as you seem to be.
Well, it's putty in my mouth, Alistair.
In your mind.
It's putty in my mind.
I mean, look, I wrote down the psychologist superhero who removes your desire to be evil.
I think it's great. It's great. We should write a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style book where one of the characters is Sigmund Freud. I don't know if we ever hear about Sigmund Freud being really great at curing anybody's mental problems. We hear a lot about his theories, but I don't know, did he actually help people as well, or did he just
I think he was a good stepping stone. He was an important stepping stone.
A stepping stone, sure.
Yeah, but it would be fun to see him in a kind of superhero style style situation where he was fighting crime of some sort.
Yeah, great.
You know, and that if he did wrestle, but also if he did use like one of those watches that he, you know, that dangle, you know, like a pocket watch.
A bit of hypnosis.
But I think use it more as a nunchuck.
To time the session.
No.
Sorry.
A nunchuck.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's good too.
Because people are a bit like Pokemon. You kind of gotta weaken them a little bit before you can.
I mean, would he hit them with a couch like a wrestler hitting somebody with a with a chair?
I guess if he knocks you unconscious, right? But then you're like laying on the ground face down, and then he puts the couch on top of you so that you're technically sitting on the couch. You know, your butt is on the couch.
That's technically sitting, if that's the case. Yes.
Yeah. Technically sitting.
I mean, in the reference frame of the couch, I believe the entire Earth is in fact sitting on the couch in that case. Anyway.
In fact, Mr. Freud is being crushed by the Earth.
And you know what? What about a Buddhist superhero who doesn't kill people, but he is able to achieve the death of their ego? He is able to just completely kill their...
that's amazing. It's like, so destroy your confidence in yourself.
It's not, I think when we talk about the death of the ego, I don't think it's necessarily about destroying your self-confidence, although that would be a good superhero as well. Somebody who just fills you with self-doubt. Actually, that's way better. That's a really good one. And you know who they call it?
Oh, they call him the mean girl.
Oh, very good. I was going to say the mother.
I mean, sometimes mean girls turn into mean mothers.
There you go. This does not reflect my opinion of or my relationship with my own mother, but I'm just saying sometimes they are capable of saying one or two things that really do go to the core of you.
Yeah, that's right. And this does not affect, this is not about my relationship with your mother either, or even
no,
my
indeed. That would be another good superpower, being able to turn into the person you're fighting, being able to turn into their mother.
I think that's really good.
Assume the form of their mother.
So wait, the superhero or villain who turns into your mother.
I'm turning into your mother.
I'm doing it very slowly over 35 years. A bit like how your sister is.
Every time I look in the mirror, I just think the same thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Turning into my mother. That was a great Andy Zaltzman joke I heard the other day. The older I get, as the years go by, I keep finding myself turning into my father. But then he will insist on standing in the middle of the driveway.
But were you also referring to the Sarah Silverman joke before?
Which one? What's that one?
She says, the other day I was licking pudding off of a penis, and I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm turning into my mother. Something like that.
I wasn't referencing that, though. But that's a good joke.
It's a good joke. I've seen somewhere where she's like, that was one of the only jokes she'd ever bought from somebody who, like, somebody had written it and wasn't really a comedian. They were just like, this is just too good to stay in my hands.
I owe it to the world to get this out there. I'm thinking of putting it into the public domain.
Andy, what do you think we just go to three words from a listener?
Sure. I've been having such a good time, Alistair. It would be a shame to ruin it by continuing to do the podcast.
Well, I just thought that there was a chance that maybe we were going to record multiple episodes because you're about to go into a period of busyness.
Mm-hmm. I'm going into busyness.
He's going into busyness for himself. And for his family. Andy doesn't do anything for himself.
A busyness man.
Andy, today's three words come from a listener. And today's listener is... Do you want to guess who the listener is?
Let's see. Is it Tempest Marauder?
No, Andy. You couldn't be further from the truth. It's B-Boon.
B-Boon?
B-Boon. B. dot Boon. Now, it could be pronounced Baboon.
Baboon,
I think it could be
B-Boon's
first...
I think it's their first time. Welcome, yeah. B-Boon.
B-Boon. And
I got a
Brenda,
good feeling about this. I think you're
going to... Patrick?
I think you're going to nail this.
Yeah. Well, Andy, B-Boon sent in three words. It could be Baboon. Would you like to try to guess what the first one is?
The first word is inferno.
No, Andy. No. It is lubricious.
Oh, wow.
Lubricious.
Okay. The next word is ferocious. The next word is ferocious.
Ferocious? No, Andy. Mm. No. Leprechaun.
Lubricious. Leprechaun. Lederhosen. The final word is Lederhosen.
Andy, the third word is lubricant.
The way you do that to me is one of the most psychologically damaging parts of my life.
I know, Andy. That one I felt like I had done it so well.
It so well. Yeah. That was an incredible performance because you go on such a journey. In those few moments of being like, no, wait, no. And then it's just no.
So now you got to think lubricious, which means offensively displaying or intended to arouse sexual desire.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Lubricious.
Yeah. Leprechaun. It can also mean smooth and slippery with oil or a similar substance.
Oh, well, that's quite related to the lubricant thing. Yeah. There, isn't it? It's a slippery leprechaun, isn't it?
Yeah, but leprechaun lubricant. You know, I mean, a leprechaun lubricant, that could just be a bunch of very small coins, so small that they actually act like beads.
Or like bits of graphite. They're yeah. that small, they're tiny little.
And so it's like slippery, like sand on us, on like vinyl flooring.
Mm.
You know, that kind of
it's
thing?
It's a dry slip.
It's a dry slip.
It's a dry kind of wet.
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Because, I mean, yeah. it feel like if you had enough, if you had a really light particle thing like that. Like, I mean, what's the driest thing that acts like a liquid? Some kind of leprechaun lubricant.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, imagine that. Using a lubricant. Let's say somebody is having sex with a... This is a male. No, or it could be a male wearing a strap-on. Right? Having sex with a watermelon. Right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
it's a but it's a dry watermelon. He opens it up, cuts the hole in it, and it's you've never seen a drier watermelon.
Oh wow. It's dusty
all cellulose. There. And so but then he looks around and all he can see is like a bag of miniature marbles and he thinks maybe could it?
Could it? No, surely not.
Surely not.
Unless
but sure enough
dare I
he fills up the hole.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that works. But
no, but it feels like a very manly thing to do, right? Again, yeah. we were talking about the man, the pocket full of dust to have an even drier hand.
Yeah.
I feel like once we can fully invent a kind of fully dry love making technique.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Like
what an exciting future
well,
that will be.
Men
well,
would
I don't
have
think
to
it'll
work
be scratchy because I think it has to. Because I don't think that's a pleasant thing. I think it still has to be enjoyable, but it's a sort of a, as I say, it's a dry kind of wet.
A dry
you know,
enjoyability.
Because,
like, when you think of a leprechaun, I always think of the one from, like, the horror movie, The Leprechaun.
As do I, yes.
Yeah. And so they always look very gross. And so I could imagine him, he would enjoy a dry hump. You know, the driest of humps. But it would be like, I guess, like a guy like that would go to the beach to have sex with the beach. And I'm not talking about the part near the water.
No, we're not talking about the tide line here.
He
we're
would
talking
get
the
on
dunes.
Top of a dune and he would hump a hump.
He's doing a dune. He's
doing
humping
a
hump.
Dune. He's doing humping a hump. He's a leprechaun doing a dune. Humping a hump.
He's a one-man sandworm.
He's healing the hill. Healing the hill. Sexual healing. Sexual healing the hill. There you go.
Okay. He's mounting the mound. Did you already do that?
No. I didn't do that.
Let's see here.
Let's see here. He's graveling the gravel hill.
He's pile driving the pile?
Oh, yes, the pile drive. This is on a car. a big truck has come and picked up a big shovel full and they dipped it into the, put it in a dump truck.
Yeah.
And he's
great.
Still on the top there. He just
banging
away. He's banging the bang.
Wow, tell me more about that.
Look, banging the bangs. That's a different thing though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it doesn't mean
so.
Hill. It means a sort of a fringe. Now, Andy, do you think a leprechaun that has sex with the beach is, cause I don't know how this would go, but I guess somebody would say you had sex on the beach. And I guess that was, I mean, sex on the beach, that still makes sense for what he's doing.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree.
And who's the lucky lady? Well,
The foreshore on the foreshore. All fours on the foreshore.
You had sex on the
beach. I was all fours on the foreshore.
For sure I was. Andy, this is like, I feel like it's uncharacteristically punny, but I'm having a really good time because it's about such an awful thing.
That's what makes it okay.
I'm picturing his little gremlin-y face. Like, it's almost like, you know, like you almost allow him because it's like a dog, you know, on a teddy bear or something like that. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He just, he really loves that teddy bear. And it's like, and also, you know, deep down that you've given this dog such an awful life because you've taken it away from any kind of that it could experience and possible, you know, love partners and things like that. And it's the same thing with being a leprechaun.
And true freedom. Yeah.
True freedom. Yeah. And so you're like, you can hump the teddy.
Yeah. We just let it have that one thing.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so I'm going to, and for those reasons, I feel like I've justified. I can, you know,
write
leprechaun. Leprechaun having sex with the beach.
Alistair, just to go back to the bit where we're talking about guns that shoot Band-Aids. Really, the gun should shoot a sort of a tampon type thing. That if you were good enough, what you need, if you have a sniper up on a hill, right, picking off members of your battalion, you really need another sniper, an even better one maybe, up on another hill, firing a wad of gauze into each of the bullet holes as the people are shot.
That's really good, yeah. All right, well, I'll write sniper.
Maybe that's what you could do for President Kennedy. You could be on a different grassy knoll.
I mean, you wouldn't call them tampons. Moment. You'd call them tampins.
Tampins, that's what they good.
Sorry. It's really,
that's what I call them anyway.
Tampon, don't you mean a pad? That's more of a tamponder. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It shoots tampons into bullet holes. There we go.
Yes.
Andy got one on the board.
Thanks, man. Runs on the board.
Do you think that we should try to
like
get
a surfer with diarrhea? I've got runs on the board.
I always thought it was rungs, but maybe we've discussed this, haven't we?
Probably.
And but the board
said that surfer with diarrhea thing already. Oh, nothing if not.
What could Andy be about to say?
Predictable. I was hoping we could say it at the same time.
Okay, I mean, I was really like coming to a blank there. Sandwiches.
What about this? I thought
Andy,
of this.
I'm not if not. Nothing if not sandwiches.
Ridiculous. Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, sorry. So, no, Andy, say it again. No, you do it, and then we'll do it. We'll say the word at the same time.
Oh, I'm nothing if not predictable.
Sentences.
I was thinking about, you know, my beloved. She committed
the
a murder. My beloved, she committed a murder, but I didn't want her to go to prison for the crime. I said that it was I that did it.
Yeah.
We're so close that we finish each other's sentences.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
I think it's really beautiful.
Prison
Andy.
Sentences.
Oh, yes. That's okay. I get it now. Sorry. I just thought you were talking about how close you guys were, and that's why you were finishing your prison sentence.
No. It wasn't completely unrelated.
Andy, do you think baboon deserves more? Or do you think a leprechaun having sex with a beach is enough of a sketch idea?
I wonder if tiny little particles of gold dust, would act as a lubricant and could be used in lovemaking. Because we're finding ways to include gold into more and more things to make them feel special. You know, like you can go to restaurants and get an incredibly expensive dessert where there's bits of gold on there, little thin bits of gold that you eat, edible gold. You know, why not? Fuckable gold.
I think it would be nice if you could at least inject a whole syringe full of like slightly
you know, liquid like, gold know, into like your ball gold, bag, yeah,
like, or just at least down the dick
down
hole,
the tube,
so that when yes. whatever the next liquid that comes out.
Oh, great!
And I reckon save it for an ejaculation. And then it comes out. It's very, you know, that's a special occasion.
Yeah,
a piss is kind of like an everyday thing.
Yeah, yeah. If you're lucky, sure. That's a yeah. once in a.
Imagine that you inject a bunch of sort of liquid gold into your peanut pee hole, and then that day, and you're saving it because you've got a big thing that day, and you're
thing.
Happy to use it on a piss, right? You happen to just have a sparkly right. piss or whatever. Yeah. And that day you go to the doctor and he tells you that your kidney function is low and you're going on dialysis and you'll never piss again.
Oh, no.
And then you got like $7.50.
Is that what it is? Does dialysis mean you'll never piss again? Does he say your pissing days are over? Is that what he says to you?
I knew somebody who was on dialysis. Their pissing days were over. Now, I don't know whether or not. It's just because.
Yeah, I guess your kidneys don't function.
Yeah, and I don't think you're really drinking liquid in that normal way anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like when you hit that recirculate button on the car, weather climate control. You're just...
Yeah. You're just pissing. You just piss right back into the blood.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They just take where
your pissing days are over. That's hand in your bladder and your... whatever it is.
I want your bladder on my desk by the end of today. Like that. And you just put your bladder there and your two kidneys. Mm-hmm. Like that. You tie a little knot in your penis.
Vas deferens. Which one's that? That's the sperm one.
And I'm not then, sure.
I don't know.
Oh. How? Why would you know that?
We should know. We should know. We should know about our bodies. We shouldn't be afraid or ashamed of them.
Yeah, yeah. Andy, I'm not ashamed, but I am. What I am ashamed to say is that we're about to go read through the sketch ideas.
Okay, I'm excited to find out what you actually did write down from today's
Okay, well, Andy,
experience.
The first sketch is cheese is an infected blood scab, and the guy who came up with the word cheese is. Trying to stop everybody else from being able to use it because he's essentially the genius marketer that should be getting the only person who gets the benefits of this. Yeah, house so dirty it is filled with dirt, and then you're just kind of crawling near the top there. And then we got trying to convince your wife it's her eyes that are covered in dirt. Then we got
sounds like a healthy relationship. Sounds okay.
No, it's not messy.
Sounds like things are good at home.
Sniper that shoots tampons into bullet holes. There was a gap where I'd put a dash, but then I'd left it empty because I forgot to write something down. So I went back and put that other one there. Then we got a moisturizer filled pocket. Which is, you know, leads us, of course, to all other things in pockets. But these are pants that just come with
it. Wet pocket, dry pocket. Wet pocket, dry pocket. Wet and dry.
Imagine that. It's a walking, it's like you can crumb chicken while you walk. You know,
okay.
So what you could do is you got one pocket on the left that has raw egg that's been beaten. Right? Oh, no, wait. Yeah. No, okay. So you got left pocket. That's got... You got left pocket. That's got some flour in there or maybe some like potato starch or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you got a little... You're wearing a little bum bag and that's covered in... That's filled with raw egg. And so then you put the chicken in there and then you put the chicken in there. And then your last pocket's got like a crumb and a seasoning kind of thing mixture. And then like that. And then... You have
a backpack on your back and you're tossing them into your backpack as you go.
It's got hot oil in there.
This is a great productivity hack for the already very successful. Right?
Yes.
While you're walking, you could be crumbing chicken.
Yeah, you could be.
Well, what are you doing with your walking time? If you're not using that to crumb chicken, what are you even doing?
Crumb and cook your own chicken.
Because Elon Musk, he sleeps at the Tesla factory and he crumbs chicken while he walks. That's how he got to where he is today.
That's right. Like, I mean, if you're buying, eating food out, you're spending so much more money. And that's extra time that you could not need to be working. You know?
Exactly. And why so did the that's extra time that you could be working more, really. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, because Elon Musk was crumbing it as he strode to go and sleep at the Tesla factory.
As he went from his house to the Tesla factory to sleep.
To have a sleep.
He spends all day at home, just like fucking around. And then he's like, right, well, go to bed.
Early night tonight, I think. Curls up on the floor.
Well, see you later, honey.
Between all the robots.
See you later.
In the middle of the loading bay.
Current lady from that I work with that I'm impregnating. See you later. And I'm going to the factory now to sleep. then we got a gun that shoots doctors, in brackets, a doctor cannon.
Yeah,
and a nurse cluster bomb.
Why has nobody invented the doctor cannon? It's crazy. We've got to get onto the Red Cross. We've got to tell them about this.
Yes. Oh, the Red Cross would be a perfect target to try to hit.
It would be. That makes so much sense. Doctors.
You just turn it
They've
to the side.
They've already got
it
those tents. If you could get them to land on the top of one of the tents.
Yeah.
They might even survive this journey. That's going to be great.
If you put some of that mesh over the cover of another cannon, and you try to shoot the doctors into that other cannon, that material might slow them down as they go
it
in.
It might. It's worth a go. It'll chop them into chunks.
Well, technically, logically, Andy, they were at rest when they started from the cannon.
Technically, logically.
So, so by the time they get to the exact same point on the other end, they should be slowing
down.
Have
zero velocity. That makes sense. That makes sense, Alistair. I mean, if you wanted to do that, you'd have to fire the other cannon at the exact moment that they're coming into the
But in
barrel.
Reverse. You'd have to do that thing.
No,
that
you'd still fire
players.
It, and it would cancel out their momentum.
No, I think it would have to be like.
Alistair,
it would have to, Andy, it would have to be.
Fucking disagree with me.
No, but listen, it would have to be like one of those, you know, like when a soccer player catches a ball in the air by just kind of moving their foot back with it, but slowing it down perfectly like that. That's what they would need to have.
Yeah, and that's
why don't
what
they
I'm
have
describing
that yet?
As well. You.
No, Andy, you're talking about a cannon shooting forward.
Yeah, but that's. Man, it doesn't matter.
No, Andy. It does matter to me that you're wrong.
All right, I'm wrong.
Yes! You know, the other day somebody messaged me to say, oh my God, I'm going to be in a science debate against Andy. But he doesn't realize how easy you are to beat in a debate. You know, you'll fold at a moment's notice.
I've had to pull out of that science debate, actually. That's how easily I'm defeated.
Exactly.
I had to withdraw.
Withdrawing. Oh, Andy, where was your this withdrawal method? Sorry.
Alistair.
Andy, every one of your children is a miracle, and I won't hear a bad word said about them.
Yeah. Thank
you. We've got the psychologist superhero who removes your desire to be evil. We have the superhero villain who turns into your mother. And then we have the leprechaun having sex with Beach. So I think that's it. I think there was a few more ideas in there, but I'll just write down Freud superhero as well. Hero maybe. Or crime fighting Freud. Crime Freuding. Freuding.
Yeah.
Crime Freuding. Andy, we got to end this episode because it's getting too stupid.
And
wait, you go.
Thank you so much, everybody. Sorry about the audio on the previous episode. There was some weird clicking thing in my recording, but I filtered it out, but at terrible cost to the rest of the audio quality.
A terrible cost. But my side was still fine, right?
Yours was perfect. I assumed when I listened back to it, I was like, oh, that'll be Alistair's. But then I turned your track off and it was in mine. So I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you fucked up my track from all the way over there in Canada.
But it's a very, it shows great incompetence, even greater than I thought you could be possible.
Oh, you're like a ventriloquist of incompetence. You can throw your stupidity.
Is a person who's incompetent an incompetee? Incompetator?
And
incompetator?
We love you.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.